Okay, talking about how what we upset Hanapa, sister. Talk about the one more organ, of course, we have to be very careful to clean it out. We see say Hachomet Hanid Bukba from the crumbs of Hamas Rastakantu, the Nisrach, the Nidbag, the Nidve, Ariga, Hanapa. And they get all, I don't know what every one of those words is, but they get stuck into all the little holes of the weaving of the, of, you know, the weaving of the strainer. Uba eight shabba, and on the handle, the wooden handle, yishaf shufoi, so the mayim yaf yafa, and you should wash it very well with water. Halisha, also other things that you use for kneading, which is what we've been doing in the past few halachas, about things used for cold, shashif shuf behem, ikul gadol, the rubbing of them is very important, because the shashir is for the end. So for the end, you really have to make a real effort to get it out. First he says about doing it wet, and then he says about rubbing it, whatever you have to do to get it clean. But now the Rama says, v'nagu shaloi l'hishtamish b'napa al-yidei ha-kol. The English answer. The minig is that you don't use a napa strainer, even if you do hagola, meaning, and the reason is because this is the end that's left over, not because of the hagola, but the hagola is fine, but this is the end left over, so therefore, if you don't get rid of the end, you can't do hagola to it. The chen kol yitzvah, is there also anything like this? Kikoyin ha-kleish, kikoyin ribaisin, like a grater, oy ha-kish shal rechayim, the bottom of the rechayim, the kum le-mahan hagola, you can't do hagola because,
why does he even mention Hagala? All you need is clean it. And what is Hagala?
Because in the halacha before, and we had the special halachas, which we're going to wait till Chafetz for, special halachas that things used for doughs may need to have Hagala, even though they were used closed, cold. So, you know, you might, if you saw the last halacha, you might say, oh, I'm going to do Hagala to this thing, I'm going to take care of my problem. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just don't use it, don't clean it, but if I do Hagala, I'm okay. He's saying, no. Even Hagala doesn't help because you're not getting rid of the end. So you can get rid of the end, it doesn't help you to do Hagala for it. So for all these kind of things, with these little holes and cracks and crevices, you can't do Hagala. Also baskets that use for holding chametz, meaning like woven wicker baskets. So those things you can't do. It's like a napa that there's too many little places where chametz get trapped and you can't do Hagala to it. We're going to stop here. There's a little left. We'll do that in Mishnah next week. We'll do end of the halacha. Okay.
So this is also used on Pesach, right?
Yes.
What would they say if you wanted to use it on Pesach to make kosher Pesach food?
Okay. Good question. We're going to get to that in a second. Okay. I'm going to ask you to wait a second. I'm over here. Okay. We're getting to it. But what does it say here in the Mechaber and the Ramah? What's going on? There's a Machlokes here. Mechaber and the Ramah are very basic Machlokes. Now, even the Beis Yosef brings the day that the Ramah brings also. He's just not passing like that, which is everyone agrees you have to get rid of the end. Everyone agrees that these things are hard to clean. And the Mechaber holds that if you make the effort and you're willing to do what you need to do to get it clean, that's fine. We can accept that. And the Ramah says that's true in the din, but there's a minig that even so, you don't rely on such things, and you say that there might be a little bit left over, and therefore you can't use the clean Pesach. Okay?
Is it a machloek example?
It's not the word machloek is. It's that the Mechaber brings such a minigol. So the Beis Yosef brings that, you know, minadin, of course, it's mutter. Minadin, you cleaned it, either way you could. Right. But there's such a minig to not do it, and he's choosing to not pass like that minig. And the Ramah, the Dr. Moshe brings the minig and says that we do pass like this minig. It's a minig, it's not a din. This is not minadin.
It's not a matter of stock, you know. We have the minig, you don't.
Right, that's good. Say it how you want. I'm saying the Ramah, but it's saying that there's such a minig. I mean, on top of the din. The din is, of course, like the Mechaber. The din is like the Mechaber, but there's a minig to not use. Okay, so I'm gonna. Before we really get to talk about that, I'm gonna step back for a second. We'll talk about the din, what everybody calls kederach ha-machadim. That you clean something up, you clean a certain level of cleanliness, makes it clean. And then we get that back to Arden over here. Okay, I'll try to go quickly. A regular person who didn't know so much, who's coming to Kashrut Kli, would say, how much Be'en do you have to get rid of? There's two reasons why you have to get rid of Be'en on a Kli. One is because if you don't get rid of the Be'en, it's going to get into your food. So when you keep about Kashrut, you still have a piece of Kashrut sitting on your plate. And the second is because to do Hagolah, it's going to trape up the Hagolah water. That's like a second issue, that it's going to the little piece of issue that's sitting there in the water is going to trape up the water. Okay, so you have two reasons to get rid of it. So a regular person who not so sophisticated who looks at it would say, you have to get rid of everything. If you leave any little bit, that little bit's going to get into my food. And so that's what someone who's not as sophisticated would say. But you know, the truth is that there's this Mishnah in Trumas. This Mishnah, Rodowski brought up this Mishnah in Trumas. It's really brought in the Taz at the end of Tzachot Kalyayin also. Maybe in the Mechaber, in the Taz at the end of Tzachot Kalyayin, which says that if you have a container that you use to hold oil of Truma, and you want to use it for oil of chulin, So what you do is you pour out the container, and when it gets to the point that only three drops in a row come out, whatever that means, some kind of a shear, then you can put chul in the tumah. Okay, now the Mishnah is clear that there's still more tumah into it. The Mishnah says if you stand it up and more collects, then you have to get rid of it. There's you see that it's there. The Mishnah has a bunch of cases about some kederach hamachabdin comes from the word chabed to sweep out a storehouse. It says there also a bunch of things like this that a person b'chuyif to clean a certain amount. And when they get to that certain amount, that's good enough. They don't have to get rid of that last little bit. They don't have to scrub out every last little bit. Now, there are four different stuff in that Mishnah in Tumas. The one that's l'halacha is the Rash. But the Rash says that the reason why you're allowed to leave that little bit is because the tiny bit that's going to be left is going to be fought from Shishim to the next food. How much will be left already? And it's not considered bitulus l'chatchila because it's enkavas levato. You obviously did a job to try to clean it off. The fact that you left a little bit is considered you're not trying to get it into your food, and therefore it's enkavas levato. Okay. Now, in order for us to say that it's enkavas levato, this is sort of from the Taz says this. It has to be the guy's trying to get this thing clean, trying to get it off. And the way I said before him, the way Rodolfsky is monitoring that, he says is if the guys are trying to clean it, and they say this is what we consider kederach hamachadin, or the way they say it in English, the industry standard of clean, then that's good. So I did what I had to do to try to get it clean, and I consider it clean. But if I'm just willing to use it dirty, I don't care that my kelim are dirty, that's not considered kederach hamachadin, that's not considered that I did an industry standard of clean, it's just that the industry couldn't care less if it's dirty. That he holds that's not considered kederach hamachadin, and it's sort of based on the time. Okay, and within that, just worth the sticking, that within that, you know, in an industry, the way a huge company cleans something is much more sophisticated than a little bakery does around the corner. But for each group in your industry, what would you be considered the wrong way to clean it? That's considered clean.
Even though the it's clear that the same reasoning still applies
to us.
So let's say it'd be a case where it's obviously there's income enough on the box. Okay, so the same stuff still applies. It's just dirty, and they don't care that it's dirty. But so why don't you have the same factor?
Right, so the reason is because the Taz says that if a person does something, has a choice between having an ein kavanas levato, having it together with the ein kavanas levato, or making the effort to go get it clean, then the Taz says it's like a bitulus l'chatchila, to let the ein kavanas levato. What do you mean this one said that? Because
what's the pshat of aleph and beis? I should give you cases where the guy has a good reason why he's letting it stay dirty for a very good reason.
Okay, so you could maybe make an argument that the Taz doesn't apply. He has a reason why he doesn't want to clean it. It would take him, you know, 3 days straight to clean this thing out. So for him, that's not worth it. What's the point? How much little bit end is left? That could be. Okay, maybe you can make an argument. But also, the Mishnah does say it's mutter after the guy did the cleaning. The guy did something to make this thing clean. This guy did nothing. The Mishnah is saying that, you know, after you made your effort to make it clean, then it's good.
Maybe that's the case in the Mishnah, because if you talk, you don't.
You're going to leave so much behind that it's going to be...
Whatever, it'll be a bit less of a chatzchilah.
No, not a bit. It'll be not possible position. Okay, maybe. Okay. You could maybe make an argument that Rodolfsky doesn't buy that, and you could see that if the guy doesn't clean it all, the sloppiness and the slippery slope that we're headed on, how soon people will be cleaned up again.
And there was one of the differences between halacha and policy.
Okay. Okay. Now this rules about cleaning kederach hamachab, this thing is very negated to places, dry places that only work with dry powders. That by them, it's almost like a halacha l'mashmisina, that you won't use water in these places because the water is going to ruin the next product. So they have this, they're very into that, which makes it hard to clean. If you don't use any water, how are you going to clean things? So for them, these rules are very, you know, are very important to them to be able to get away with cleaning less than perfectly. Okay, and as we've talked about before, that some people so how do I know the guy's really cleaning? That he got off, basically he did a good cleaning. So if they think the company is being a little bit sloppy or is not being so sincere, I'll tell them to run salt through the machinery or to run chocolate through the machinery, something that they know they don't want to be in the next product. If you got salt in, you don't want salt in your net, or chocolate to give a color to the next product. So once the guy did that, then you know he's doing that. You know that he will do a thorough cleaning after, or his best cleaning after, because he can't afford to have salt in his next doing. So that's a way of just, some people use that just as a way to make sure the guys are really doing a good job and not just...
I mean, you don't have to do a thorough cleaning.
What?
I mean, if you're not there, I usually do it.
Okay, so you answer a second question. How do I know that he did? He's there. Or
What
I'm saying is, the guy says to him, "Rabbi, we did our cleaning. And what do I know? How serious you think? It's through all kinds of equipment." So we say between a tray fund and a kosher one, you have to do a salt flush in between.
Yeah.
That's what he has to do. So then I know that if that's salt, he's going to do a good cleaning after.
No, he's going to do the salt.
Okay, so that's a little problem. It's easier to make sure that happens than to trickle right into all his details about how he cleaned. Okay,
so this is exactly what I'm referring to. This is a case with a company. You know they're not interested in having their mesquite flavor in the next thing of popcorn, and this is. So how much sugar do you have to go?
So we know that they're going to clean to what you
want. Let's say you've been there, you've seen that it's not perfectly clean. So do you need a guy to send a mashgiach down every time to make sure that it's clean? I mean, what's they come out of Slovak on this?
I hear what Urbelski said, that a guy's like that, we're
not dirty.
Maybe,
not dirty. It's just right. Sloppy. It's sloppy.
Okay.
It's a sloppy job. It's not perfect.
Okay. I don't know. Okay. Okay, now one last question is before we get back to our din, which is what happens when a company has two standards of cleaning? They have two ways that they clean the kegel mat. One, they clean it regular, this is their cleaning, and one, they have allergens. When they have something that they put out, they make a special cleanup. Well, they have the beginning of the week. They have a special cleanup. Beginning of the week cleanup, but then there's the in-between product cleanup. So what you say in that case, you're required to do the regular cleanup. That's considered clean. They consider clean between two products. That's considered that cleaning. Or should we be require them to go do the beginning of the week cleanup, the allergen cleanup? Okay, so Rabbi Shechter thought that there's no reason to require them to do there's no reason men have been to require them to do the allergen cleanup. Even the first cleanup is considered the clean. They do an extra, so to speak, an extra zahirus to do that. But he had his own twist on it, which is just like I said to you. If you weren't so sophisticated, you would think that you have to clean up every bit of that. Right? An average lay person, you walk them on the street and say, "How much you have to clean before you kasher?" They say, "You gotta get every last bit of." No, leaving little bits afterwards. So he says, so if he comes from the side of the Oino, from the Chosh Mishpat side of it, he says that consumers are expecting us when we oversee a cleaning before they make kosher products, and they should clean it like they would do it in their house. So he thinks that we're misleading consumers when we don't do that. Okay, that's if the company has a choice to do it, to do it as it, to do it as it,
consumers know what we're doing, but yeah.
That's exactly what we can access. Whenever he gets this type of thing for Rabbi Shaffer, we have a long time before we get up to the question. We have to get through your day first. Okay, so now back to our day. So Rabbi Shaffer had a question. He says like this. Our din says, the Machaber says, if you have something with little holes and cracks and crevices, you could clean it, and then you could clean it carefully, and you could use it for Pesach. And the Ramah says the minhag is that we don't use those things. Things that have little holes and cracks or filter, or something with NTS, we don't use it. So Rabbi Shechter's question was, does this minhag say, is it like superseding the Mishnayos and Trumas? Mishnayos and Trumas said that you can leave little bits of ban left over. That's okay. You can get away with little bits of ban.
That's a Pesach. We're talking about every yitz in the world that are about the Pesach. That's a mamash.
Okay. So, good. So the answer is no. We have more to say that. You're right. That's where we're heading to. But it is. So Rabbi Bussi said, I said, it's because Chomet is Bamashu, because the guy is going to, the problem here is that the person is going to use this thing on Pesach. So here, with Chomet is Bamashu, so if, like you said before, if I'm making food before Pesach, I'm making a production today for food to eat on Pesach, so the little mashu that might be left in there is going to be bottled, and I'll be able to use, no problem, it's bottled before Pesach. So then the regular, what the Rash said makes sense. What the Rash said is it'll be bottled.
Why would it be Pesach in the name?
Because we don't say Chosin. That's
about Pyrrhus. The Pyrrhus is a lach balach. It's a lach
balach. No, Pyrrhus is a lach balach, so there's no Chosin there. Right, okay.
Only by
liquids, but anything that where there's not going to be a piece of ban sitting there, that's going to be a noticeable yavish that's going to be sitting. Right. So the
powders
are lost. Yes, most of them.
So that was if you have three pieces of food, one of comets. So even though it's bottled arrive all year long, but on Pesach we say it comes back not bottled. Mm-hmm. But a mixture of powder is not considered like three separate things. It's considered like a liquid mixture.
Okay, so now this. But that means if you're making food for before, it'll be bottled, and that's it. You're okay. Now, there's two other examples of two two other examples of things, three other examples of cases where the Rosh's svara is not going to work, and those are, one is a Pesach, which is if you're making, there's nothing to do with, it's a mashu, but if you're making egg masses, so when you make egg masses, even the slightest amount of water in a masses made with May Paris, we hold them in a din, they're not machmet, but if, even the slightest amount of water, it is machmet. So there, you can't say, I basically got the equipment clean, and that little bit of water that's there, okay, it's a little bit, I did it, since even the slightest amount of water will make the Isa be machmet, excuse me, therefore, you have to get off every little bit of water. You can't leave even a little bit and say, oh, I'm being semich, I did a kederach machab. And another example is, if a person had chadash, which is davi shev shamatirin, and therefore it's not bottle, so if it's min demin, it's not bottle, so therefore, the person can't leave, can't say, I did basically a cleanup, and the little bit that's left, don't worry about, that's okay, that I don't have to clean that much, because over there, it's not going to be bottle. Okay? Which this is a very lemaisa case, which is the way when you store barley for a long time, you store it with the shell on the outside of it, and then you pearl it when you're getting closer to selling it. The pearling is to scrape off the edges, the outside, and you to make it shiny like a pearl. And then so that's done closer to packaging, okay? Because it stores better before pearling. So the people who want to make yashin barley said they want to put it away in the spring. In the early summer, and then as the year goes on, every time they need to make a new packet, a new run, they'll pearl it and package it. Okay, the problem is that the pearling machines have never been cleaned since they were installed. Okay, it doesn't spoil, so it's been sitting there for 6 years. So the pieces that are there from last year, who cares? They're yashin. But the pieces, the guy's making weeks and weeks of productions of yashin, of chadash, and then he comes, okay, now open up the special package, the special bin of chadash barley. Of Yashin stuff, he doesn't even know, there is no way to clean out this machine. Okay, and in that machine, what's it going to be? Tiny bits that Kederach HaMechaber would have been considered clean. But there'll be some kernels left inside there that are just, amazingly difficult to try to clean those out, which will make it difficult. Okay, if it happens to be that in that case, there's a plaque from Rabbi Yashin that had to deal with it, no, we're not going to talk about that. But I mean, it's just an example that there are times that the rule just saying, okay, I did a Kederach HaMechaber doesn't work in all cases. And an example from the other extreme is, the Rosh is assuming that the amount that's left over is going to be bottle machine. Okay? But there are cases, people who do work, particularly who work with oils, deodorizing and stills and all kinds of fancy equipment that uses oil. Oil also doesn't spoil, doesn't go rancid like that. And what happens is, this equipment which is used hot has got, often will have caked on years worth of oil sitting on the thing. So I can't say, I cleaned as much as they consider that clean. That's good enough for them, so I cleaned it off well enough. Because then the amount that's left may not be bought the machine. The whole Rosh assumes that what you have left will be bought the machine, therefore it's incapable of the bottom. If I leave so much on there that it's not going to be bought the machine, that's not normal, not typical. In normal, the typical house, you clean off well beyond that. But if you have kind of equipment that you leave dirty, then that's not, it's not, you can't use the Rosh.
In the case of the barley, what happens if it comes with white bags? Will not have any of that stuff, right?
Yes.
What happens if it comes with polish? I buy a bag, right?
Yes.
It's called a polish. Tell me, yes. This bag has none, has zero of the leftover.
So it's a double shade of material, it's not possible. It's a double shade of material.
You don't think on the polish item?
I don't believe so. I don't remember exactly, but I don't think so. The whole thing is awesome, because why eat it like this? You can eat it tomorrow. I seem to remember that. Okay, so anyhow, you can leave on the Yashin barley has a platform of Yashin Havi made. Aside from the people, some people choose to bag it way back in the summer. When there's no chadash yet, they bag it then, and then they put it away. But that has other problems. That has problems of bugs in it. So, this has an advantage to bagging it full. Okay, now I want to turn to two specific cases of things. We'll talk about how to, we've said we'll wait to talk about how to cash them. But they both of them have the exact same child. The same child which negate to argent, that's why we're waiting for here. And they are cashing the microwave and dishwasher. Okay, we saw in Halach in Yudalad that Zeya comes, when you cook something with Zeya, the Zeya that rises up carries with it the pan and it makes other things straight. So if I put a cup of soup into my microwave, the Zeya that comes out of that makes the top of the soup of the microwave flay shakes or tray for whatever the time of that thing is, it makes the thing straight. We also saw, the Rambam says that if, then I put kosher food into there, and the kosher food gives off vapors, and those vapors condense on the top, then they're treif. Those vapors are treif, and then they drip back down to your food, makes your food treif. Okay? So, and that very much happens in the microwave. Of course it does, because the microwave, the walls are cold, so when the hot vapors hit the walls, they condense. And there's plenty of condensation on the top, and it drips into your food to make your food treif. So the microwave becomes treif, and it needs to be kashered in order to use it. So the standard way that people say you should kasher, what do you do is, you clean it out, wait it for a day, take out the glass plate, because you can't kasher glass, put in a cup of water, and what you do is, you let the water boil for a very long time. So what happens is two things. First of all, the chamber gets filled with zeya, so it's kabbalah kach poter, just like the blia went in through zeya, you kasher through zeya also. And second is that if you do it right, the water, as it expands, will overflow out of the cup. Okay, it'll spill out, it overflows out of the cup, which will kasher the bottom of the microwave the way it got a blia, which is through things spilling over also. Okay, so what you're doing is you put a good amount of water, a bowl or a cup of water, relatively.
Spill over, it evaporates.
Yeah. No.
It did not spill over?
It only evaporates.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, so then I'm wrong. Okay, that's my impression that it does. Okay, we'll try. So then, at least, I barely saw steam. You barely saw steam?
Yeah. No, there definitely is steam because it really evaporates.
Yeah, that's not sound, but not connected.
We'll try it. Maybe we'll bring it into the state meeting. We'll bring the microwave and we'll try it over there. Okay. So that's the way you do it. Okay, that's very nice. Everything works kibbal kachpot. The question is like this. There's a simple question. Every microwave has in it a little grating, like a venting. I think it's a vent for the steam to get out. That's what I'm assuming what it's there for. It's got a hundred little holes in it, a couple of inches of little holes, like you have in any strainer. So the Rama said that the minig is that things that have little holes that are hard to clean, we don't clean them for Pesach, clean and kash them for Pesach, because you can't get rid of the band. Okay, now microwaves, some people are very neat about the microwave, but in most houses, things splatter all over the place. So, and it's ridiculously hard to get your head into the microwave to try to clean out those holes. So the Rama says we don't clean out things like strainers that have little holes in them because they're hard to clean. So even if you try to, you're not allowed to clean it and use it for Pesach. So how are you going to kash your microwave for Pesach?
So what's going to go in and hit back?
This is what happens. Yeah. The steam, when the vapors go out, if they condense on something, they create trefa. The condensation is treif, and then it drips into your food. That's Rama. That is makes your food treif.
The vent's on the side.
Okay.
Would that be a problem? It's not going to hit back into your food.
Okay, so if the vents are in the side, that's less of a concern.
Would it help if you have a paper towel? That's my wife always does.
Put a paper towel on top of the food?
Right.
Yes, that would potentially help you. Okay. Because the reason is that if you put a paper towel, you could really basically use a treif microwave that way also. Because the Rama says if you have vapors will drift down in, so then you just have to put a cover. If there's a cover, then it doesn't come. Okay. So my question is, you're saying is I'm basically going to pretend my microwave is treif. I'm going to catch it, but I'm going to pretend it's treif. I'm going to cover. Okay. And we have the same question on a dishwasher. The way it works like this, you got on the bottom, water collects on the bottom. There's a heating element running through it, so it boils up the water on the bottom, and then it spritzes that water through either an arm on the top, an arm on the bottom, something both, and it spritzes the water all over your dishes to clean them up. So there's no question that the bottom, the basin where the water sits on the bottom, is a cleavation, and there's food in there all the time. All the food that was on your plate is now sitting on the bottom of it. So that's for sure becoming treif. Whether it makes your dishes afterwards kosher treif, there's good reason to say that the whole thing is a cleavation. We had a din before of Hevel Hakder. When you have something that's full of steam, a cleavation full of steam, the tops of it are not considered iru cleavation, the tops of it are considered cleavation. So you yesh loden whether the rest of it is iru cleavation or a real cleavation, but it potentially could make your plates in their treif.
Can I just go back to microwave?
Yes.
So let's say you're going to a motel and have a microwave. So you don't know if it was nothing used the past 24 hours.
Right. So you're saying in that case you have to. I want to be able to cash the microwave. So the first thing has to be Zayin Ben Yomer. I have to be clean Zayin Ben Yomer. How do I know Zayin Ben Yomer? Yeah. So in fact, we have that sort of shaft who said, so you have to know that Zayin Ben Yomer.
We don't know.
So they can use a microwave in a hotel.
But, that's right. So, no. So then we would kosher it. But it wouldn't help the kosher.
So you'd have to know that it was Hannah Binyan. No.
We wouldn't know. So therefore you can't kosher it. So therefore people have to know. I think many people are under the assumption that you go to a motel, just kosher it, and everything is good.
Okay. So so to that he said, Stam Hannah Binyan is... Once I use the food and I have it in here, I can say, hey, Stam Kelim in a Bnei Yermin and it's Mutter. But to say that should allow me to choose to do a Hagolah, that you can't do it. You can't do a Hagolah based on Stam Kelim in a Bnei Yermin. Because if it's not in a Bnei Yermin, I'm wasting my time. So I can only do it that. You may be able to figure out. I mean, if you want to open up the books in the hotel, maybe no one used this room yesterday. Maybe this room was empty yesterday, so the microtag isn't going to be here.
So, but are you saying if you cover it, then it's okay anyways?
Right, if you wrap your food, I'm popping your
food.
No, it's better. Right. I'm not saying. First of all, who's that the other time we use the room? If they use the room, they have to use the microwave. You know?
Right, that's true.
Most guys don't microwave.
Right. And that's what the person says, Tom can't be here. It's a sex like,
No, that's not what it is, because guys use the can. Most guys don't microwave. They go to a restaurant.
That's true.
Fine. You could make such an argument. I know we asked Trevor Shechter, who said, no, Stam Kelim doesn't help you to then to go proactively and say, I'm going to catch my record based on that. Who says, okay. But you could definitely close up the food, wrap up the food. Okay. So in the dishwasher, so what do people say? How do you catch it? Change the racks. Okay. Why did they say change the racks? First of all, some dishwashers are made of porcelain. Those can't be kashered, of course, because they're cheres. Some people hold you can't kosher a plastic, so they wouldn't kosher a plastic dishwasher. Let's say we got pizza. It's a stainless steel dishwasher. The first thing they say is change the racks. Why do you change the racks? Now, they're changing the racks because of this machaber and ramah. The racks have got a million cracks and crevices for food to get stuck in. I mean, think about the place where you put the silverware. Okay, it's got, it's the whole thing is full of holes and little cracks.
The metal racks.
The things that pull in and out.
There's a million cracks and crevices.
Okay, every place, every spot where the pieces meet each other is... It's made in such a way that every one of those spots is a place where food can get stuck.
Where the bars, right?
Okay. Well, you come visit me after we leave.
I don't know. This is just for my microwave. I don't know.
Not microwave, but a dishwasher.
I'm talking about dishwasher. I'm talking about dishwasher. Yeah.
And every place where the bars meet each other is a funny.
That's like a strainer. I mean, how do you know that's like a strainer?
I didn't say that's the minute. No, I'm not. I'm saying is that the Mechaber says things we've had before also. Things with lots of cracks and crevices is difficult to clean, and those racks have got loads of those kind of places. So that's why it's very common that people say you have to replace the racks if you want to catch your dishwasher. Okay. Now, then wait a second. Okay, so we got fine, you change your racks. Okay, you got rid of the racks. Okay, now what do you do? Now you run it through a cycle and you catch it. Okay. The problem is this, you look at the bottom of pull out the racks and look on the bottom of the dishwasher. There's a drain there. Okay, but it's not just a plain old drain. The drain's got a filter over it, to catch the food that's coming down through there. Okay? And that thing is, we could talk about whether the racks are or not the thing, but that drain on the bottom is for sure the filter that we're talking about, the Ramah here, that says that, or the same kind of thing as this filter, that things that have little bits, little holes and things to fall into it, you can't cut the minigas and not use them for Pesach. So one
thing. Must have a new dishwasher. Do you have to change this filter?
No, it's a metal filter. It's a metal filter.
If the stuff is bent over there, what is it ever called?
So the fact that there's all the soap and water breaks it up, and with time, it's cleaning itself. But it's not... There's no point that it's perfect. It's not always perfectly clean. It's that it's always, let's say, 90% clean, and that's good enough. In other words, it's continuously, breaking down what's in there and getting it through the filter. But it's not.
It must be not a little tiny filter like a screen, otherwise it couldn't go through.
Okay, so
it must be that bigger piece that goes through that drain.
I'm gonna tell you the story. No, so there may be a place for bigger pieces, but or they're just getting broken up and they're going through. And I'll tell you, here's the story. This is Mamish look cover the share. About a week or two ago, my kids told my wife that they don't want to empty the food out of the dishwasher because the dishwasher smells. That was, they came with a complaint. They don't want to empty the dishwasher because the dishwasher smells. Okay, she went to look at the trash and talking it was true, it smelled. She went to look at it and she pulled out the filter out of the bottom. And an absolute amazing amount of food came out of this thing, okay? Which had obviously been sitting there for a while, and that's why it smelled. Okay, and what it took a wonderful effort to clean this out. Okay, that's how much, and now, for whatever reason, I don't know why we got stuck like that, and that never happened to us before.
How old is the dishwasher?
Right, so, okay. Every once in a while, it has to, so I don't know how
long it's going to be. Dishwasher.
Okay,
so how old is your dishwasher?
You don't put dishes in there.
How old is your dishwasher?
I have no idea, it was there when we moved.
How old is your dishwasher?
all of the other Yashim are doing it.
Okay, so, and if I can, I'll tell you also, we just read an article Rabbi Jervo wrote about making a hotel for Pesach. So he says you should do leave them to pass the dishwasher. We said, so what are you talking about? Why would you leave them to the dishwasher? So he said, he look at this thing. He says, look, pull out the screen. He says, and you'll see that there's loads of bed on it. And he says, and you'll say, I have no way to clean it. He says, as soon as you put the torch onto it, well, half what the Ramah says is that leave them cow gets rid of the end. He says, all of a sudden you see all this food burning. He says, you won't realize even how dirty it is until you try to leave a cow in it. Now, I wouldn't try to leave a cow in
it.
Well, the point was, you have to leave a cow. However you're going to do it, he's going to do it with a blowtorch. Maybe we'll be less courageous than he is. Okay, and he'll, so the question is, if there's going to be the end, if there's this filter on the bottom there, then how are you catching this a Pesach? Okay, how could you say you're going to catch this for a year round? You say, I did as much as I could, and what that's left is Kedarach HaMacham, I did what I could. But if you can't do it for Pesach, so the same question we had for the mic. Okay, so I asked these questions to many prominent people, and I got shrugs and shoulders, basically, from people. Okay, until I asked this question to Rabbi Schwartz. Last year, before Pesach, we redid the guide to Tefillas Kelim and Hagot, and Rabbi Shevot, and Hechsher Kelim, and Hagot, Hechsher Kelim, and I asked Rabbi Schwartz this question. Rabbi Schwartz says he thinks he has the answer. His answer is like this. He says, the minute that we have here, that even if you make the effort to clean it, that's not good enough. You can't use it. That's in a case where you're using a filter, and the food that is going to pass right through this filter. You can use this filter to filter, let's say, your flour to make your matzahs. So if there's a piece of chametz left in this thing, it's going to get, the end of that chametz is going to get into your Pesach food. So for that thing, for the chumrah of someone not eating a piece of actual be'en chametz on Pesach, the minhag is that even if you try to clean it too big, you can't be samech on that. So that's fine for a case where the food actually goes into it. Says, but in the dishwasher, we're not concerned that the food that's in that drain is going to end up on your plate. The problem is that food, that the end that's on the bottom there, will make the water trace, and will make your dishes trace through bleas, passing through. Bleas are going to pass through into your plate, and they'll get to your food. It's all through bleas. So things that have to do just with bleas, so doesn't say such a minhag like that. The minhag is all for cases, and all the cases we're talking about, this minhag are cases where your food's going to have a basket that holds bread. So if I put my mass into the end that's left onto there, it's going to get onto my food. So the minhag, because of the seriousness of eating a piece of chametz, mamash a piece of chametz and Pesach, so we say that kind of thing, you can't do that. But when it's just a matter of something like, more removed from the food, then he wasn't concerned. So
that food is vulnerable anyway, because it's full of salt, for instance.
Okay, I don't know if that's going to help with Pesach. I don't know if that's going to help with Pesach. So for a dishwasher, let me just finish up. So for a dishwasher, this helps for a dishwasher, and for a microwave, it's debatable. If the microwave has holes, like David said, that's on the side, like the two microwaves upstairs, the holes are on the side, the vents are on the side, so you could say that the end that's in there can't possibly get into my food. And if you'll say that the other parts of you can clean well, then you say fine, I don't have to worry about the end getting into my food. Okay, but if you have holes in the top, like my microwave does. I checked this home last night. The microwave in my house has a hole on the top also. It has on the side and on the top. So then, this is not helping you. Because then, the end that's in there could get into your food. Okay? So, because of that, the when we rewrote the guidelines last year, it tells you how to catch your microwave. And it says something like it's commendable or something nice to cover your food afterwards also. Okay, that is to prevent this thing from dropping. That was,
my microwave, the holes are not so small. Like anything like a strainer. I mean, there's a bunch of holes.
Do you think that the easiest to clean those holes out?
Yeah.
You think
inside the hole? I don't inside my
kitchen. Do you think the holes are smaller than the holes of a grater? Look at your grater that you use for grating your mara.
It's serrated. It's like it's very rigid. It's tiny little ridges. This thing is just holes. It's pretty smooth. It's just a bunch of holes. You can clean and you can make it. You can wipe it and look at them. It's completely clean. I'm really talking about my microwave.
Okay, you want to say the Ramah had three cases. He had a filter, he had a grater, and I don't know what a kishor rechaim is. I don't know what that is. And he said in a basket, like a wicker basket that has all holes in it. And he says the chen kol kiyotzeb zeh, all these kind of things. So you're saying is your thing is not kiyotzeb zeh. Your holes are
to me that it was.
Okay, you think your holes are not as difficult to clean up. Okay, so if you want to go that way, I don't think that way. But okay, that's fine. Okay.